Welcome to the Church at South Edmonton's podcast. We hope you're encouraged and inspired to seek Christ through the message today.
Lord, we thank you that we know who you are. You are our Father. You are our provider. You are the Lord, our healer. You are our Savior, our deliverer, our strong refuge. You are the one that can make a way when there is no way, Lord. Whatever difficulties, whatever obstacles, whatever opposition, whatever challenges we face today, you are the way maker. You are the provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me to green pastures. He takes me to a banquet. He anoints my head. He is good and his love endures forever. That's who you are, Lord, and we thank you for it. And we receive all your goodness today in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, yeah. Come on, give God a shout. And before you sit down, all the children that have already been signed in, send them down the front. We're going to bless them and send them out to Kids Church. If you haven't signed your kid in yet, hold on to them. You'll need to take them out the back. Okay, all the little kids that are signed in, down the front. Let's reach out our hands to our children and to our children's workers. Father, we pray a special blessing upon all of the young people in our church. May they come to know you. May they come to trust you. May they come to love you and serve you. May their time today be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Out that door there, give them a big encouragement as they go. And go ahead and take a seat. Well, today we're doing part three of our message series. Next Sunday, we're taking a break from it for a week because we've got a guest speaker next Sunday from my old church, Gateway Alliance Church in the northwest of the city. Darian Shafar was my youth pastor for a number of years, and then he became my associate pastor, and then when I left Gateway, he became the lead pastor. Still friends with him after all these years. We've managed to not fall out with each other, which is actually a miracle in the Christian church. And so I've invited him to come and speak next Sunday. So he'll be here. I'll be here too, but he'll be here as a guest speaker. And then we'll get back into our series. So our series is called Success Secrets from Scripture. And today, we're going to be looking at the topic of vision. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the topic of competence. If you want to be successful at something, you need to be competent at it. We saw from the parable of the talents that God will not give you a task to do that you are not competent to do. He gives us talents. He gives us gifts. Jesus said, according to our abilities. So if you want God to give you more in life, grow in competence. And as you grow in competence, he will trust you with more. If you're faithful with little, you will be made ruler over much. Okay. And then last week, we looked at responsibility. How it's not your mother's fault, it's not your father's fault, it's not your grandfather's fault, it's not George Washington's fault, it's not Adam and Eve's fault. You are in charge of your life. It's not the woman that God gave you. It's not the serpent who told you to take the apple. You are responsible for the decisions that you make in your life. And it's And even if somebody did hurt you, even if somebody did cheat you, even if some injustice did happen to you, you can't go in a time machine and undo it. So just get over it and get on with it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Right. So today we are looking at vision, having a vision for your life. So before we do that, in all of these topics, we need to remind ourselves what we mean when we talk about success from a biblical perspective. So let's have a look at our definition of success. Success is living a fulfilling, stable, and truly abundant life as you discover and progressively achieve your God-given unique purpose. That's what we're saying. Living a fulfilling life, a life which is personally fulfilling to you and which you fulfill the purpose that God created you to do, doing so step by step, stage by stage, progressively, and entering into the abundance that God's got for you. And we're also saying the Bible contains practical advice for living a successful, fulfilling, and meaningful life. So that's what we're talking about. Not talking about gathering a lot of bling. We're not talking about you trying to be somebody else. We're talking about you finding out who God has made you to be and then glorifying God in your life by becoming the best you that you can possibly be, thereby fulfilling your God-given potential. Okay? That's how you glorify God with your life. Now, what we need in order to do that is we need to have a vision. Because without a vision, people perish, the Bible says. You need to have a vision for your life. Because sometimes in life, it might be your day off, it might be a nice sunny day, you get into your car and you decide, I'm just going for a little drive. I don't know where I'm going. I've got all the time in the world. I don't have any plans. When I get hungry, I'll stop off at the first place I see. Unless it's Wendy's, in which case I'll stop at the second place that I see. and you just drift. But if you have a dentist appointment at 2:45 p.m., you don't just get into your car and say, I'll just go wherever the road takes me. You have a destination in mind. You have a time in mind that you need to reach that destination. You need to devise a route, or if you can't speak properly, a route, that will take you to that place at that time. Right? You need to have a goal. And when it comes to our life, many people do the first thing. I'll just drift through life wherever it takes me. Que sera, sera. Whatever shall be. The Doris Day doctrine. Whatever shall be. Okay? Que sera, sera. And that will not get you anywhere in life. If a ship went out to sea and didn't have a destination in mind and just drifted, it would crash on the coral reef and never reach the port that it was aiming for. Okay? And so therefore, you need to have a vision for your life. Now, put up the next slide about vision. Here's some questions for you. Do you have a dream for your life? Do you have a dream for your life? I would guess that most people, if you went out on the streets and asked most people, they would say no. Never really thought about it. But what if they said, yes, I do? How specific is it? Do you have a dream for your life personally? For your family? For your career? For your lifestyle? For your ministry, that you could serve God in some way? Do you have a dream for those areas of your life? Have you really thought this? Like, knowing who God is and the promises that God has given to us, and knowing who I am, who He has created me to be, this would be the perfect life for me. Do you have that? And if you do, is it the right dream for your life, or did you get it off of Instagram? I mean, is it the right dream for your life? Oh, but I know this person, and they live this dream life, and they just seem to be flourishing in life. Yeah, that's their dream for their life that makes them flourish. What's the dream that would make your life flourish? Is it the right dream for your life? Don't be like those people in American Idol that come on at the first auditions and they say, and the judge says, why are you here? Oh, because I want to be famous and I want to see my name in lights and I want to be a movie star and I want to sing. Well, let's hear you sing. And they croak like a frog. It's a good dream, but it's the wrong dream for their life. Maybe there is something else that would be the right dream. I saw somebody else do that. Yeah, but they had gifts, talents, skills, desires, a personality type, everything else that made that the right dream for their life. Is it the right dream for your life? And if it is, if you've got that far, I've got a dream for my life. It is specific, and I am convinced it is the right dream for my life. Well, how will you achieve it?
Well, I don't know.
It will just fall out of heaven in answer to prayer. No, how will you achieve it? And so a vision is having a dream, which is the top line, and having a plan to achieve it, which is the bottom line. A dream and a plan make a vision. Now, put up my next slide, please. I want to tell you this story about this guy here. Some of you may have read this book or one of his books, Peter Daniels, How to Reach Your Life Goals. Keys to Fulfilling Your Dreams. Well, that's what we're talking about. So let me tell you his story here. Peter Daniels was an Australian. He was brought up in a very dysfunctional home environment. And so he said growing up, he had two mothers and three fathers. And he had a large family, and at any point, half of them were in prison. And none of them had ever had a job in their life, right? That was what he was brought up in. And he, on top of that, he was illiterate. He couldn't read, he couldn't write. He had zero skills. Somebody took him under their wing and helped him develop the skills of being a bricklayer. So that was his job. It was the only job he could do. He became a bricklayer and he worked on building sites laying bricks. Then he was in his mid-20s and Billy Graham was coming to Australia to put on one of his evangelistic crusades. So Peter Daniels, dysfunctional, broken, broke, illiterate, Peter Daniels goes to hear Billy Graham preach. And while he's listening to Billy Graham preach, he is convicted with the truth of the gospel, that he's lost, that he's a sinner, that he needs a savior, that Jesus is the savior, that God loved Peter Daniels so much that he sent his only begotten son. That if Peter Daniels would believe in him, he would not perish, but have everlasting life. And he thought, that's what I want. And so he goes forward at the end when Billy Graham gave the invitation for those who wanted to put their faith in Christ. Peter Daniels came down and he met with a prayer counselor who spoke to him for a few minutes, made sure he understood what he was doing. You want to put your trust in Christ, the Savior, and so on. Yes, yes, I do. So the prayer counselor led Peter Daniels in a prayer to put his trust in Christ. And then at the end of the prayer counselor said to Peter Daniels, you are now a child of the King. And Peter Daniel said that that sentence hit him like a torpedo. And he walked out of there saying to himself, if I'm a child of the king, why am I broke? Why am I a failure? Why is my life such a mess? If I'm a child of the king, I can do anything, be anything, and have anything. I am a child of the king. So he says, I'm going to do something with my life. So the first thing he did was learn to read, because he wanted to read the Bible. And he began to read the Bible. He began to learn about God and about Jesus and about prayer and about salvation. But he was really taken with the book of Proverbs, which is filled with advice about how to build a successful life, including lots and lots of advice about the importance of planning. And so he got caught up in all of this, and he began to plan his life out. Next thing, he began buying property, rental property, and renting it out. Then he built this property empire. He became a millionaire. Then he became a multimillionaire. Then he became a billionaire. Then he bought himself, because if you were brought up in poverty, you sometimes overcompensate. So he bought himself a gold-plated Rolls Royce with a plate on the back that said, Child of the King. And I heard him once say that he knew everything he was going to do every day for the next 5 years because he had planned it all out. Now, this guy is big on planning. And you can see why, because it transformed his life. And where did he learn planning? He learned it from the Bible. He learned it from the book of Proverbs. You know, Jesus said that the children of this world are sometimes wiser in the way that they deal with the affairs of life than the children of the kingdom. They will go and plan something and execute the plan, and we'll sit about praying about it for another 3 months. Right? Jesus said that sometimes they're wiser than we are. You say, well, this all sounds very secular. We're going to go to the Bible in a minute. And all of this is in the Bible. The Holy Spirit thought it was important to spend time inspiring people to write down a message to us to tell us, get a plan, dummy, or nothing will happen. Plan your life out. Thus says the Lord. Okay? Now, maybe you don't want to be a billionaire. Maybe you don't want to have a gold-plated Rolls Royce. You can give it to me. I won't drive it either. I'll sell it. I'll tithe it, but I'll keep the 90 for myself. Maybe you don't want any of that. Maybe you don't want rental pro. That's his dream for his life. The point I'm making isn't but have a Rolls Royce. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is a man who was illiterate and broken and dysfunctional, when he discovers God, when he discovers Jesus, and when he discovers the promises of Scripture, and when he believes them and puts them into practice, can achieve absolutely phenomenal things. If he can do that, and God is no respecter of persons, what can God do through your life that he hasn't done yet? What if you could get a bigger vision? You know, God said to Abraham, look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you. It's just as well Abraham wasn't just looking at that patch of land, isn't it? He had to lift his vision higher. It's time to lift our vision higher. Next slide, please. Let's have a look at this. Here's Habakkuk chapter 2, very well-known passage of Scripture. It says, write down the vision, make it plain. Make it plain. Write down the vision, make it plain, so he who reads it may run with it. For the vision awaits its appointed time. It speaks of the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. It will not delay. You're here with your life. You don't know what to do with your life. You get before God. You pray. You ask Him for guidance. You ask Him for wisdom. And then you begin to think and contemplate and meditate and let your creative juices flow after asking God to steer your thoughts in the right direction. And then you get a picture for your life, but it is way over here because the vision speaks of the end. The vision doesn't speak of where you are. You might have no money. You might have no friends. You might have no hope in life. And once you start praying and asking God for inspiration, you get this picture for your life that looks nothing like your life currently looks. Because the vision does not speak of the beginning. It speaks of the end. Right? And so you have a vision, and now you are going to begin to slowly but surely work your way towards that vision. Write down the vision. Make it plain. Don't fill your vision with King James language. Oh, verily, if it be His will, I shall go forth and prosper. That's not a vision. Make it plain. What is it? Honestly, I moved back to the UK for a couple of years. You've got no idea how many people said to me, oh, so you lived in Canada for all those years. Oh, that must have been great. I would love to live in Canada. Do you know what I used to say to them? Why don't you? Well, why don't you? And people would be taken aback. Well, what do you mean? You've just said you would love to live in Canada. Why don't you? Go and buy an air ticket. Then, also when I was in the UK, I lived in a beautiful little town that was like a seaside town, kind of vacation place, and I drove to work. Lots of people lived in the city, and they said to me, oh, you live in Lytham St. Anne's. Oh, it's a lovely place. We go down there at the weekend for lunch. I would love to live there. Why don't you? Well, what do you mean? Because I live here. Yeah, but you live here, but you're saying you would love to live. Why don't you? I did it. I'm not a genius. If I managed to work out how to live in Lytham St. Anne's in England or how to buy a plane ticket to Canada, you can too. So many of us just talk ourselves out of our dreams. I would love to do it. Well, why don't you? Well, nobody's ever challenged me that way. Look, right, make it plain. What is it you want to? Listen, let me quote the Spice Girls. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Okay? So, once you know what, most people don't have anything because they don't know what they want. Or they're letting somebody else tell them what their life should be. Get alone with God. Pray. Ask for wisdom and guidance. And then sit and think and contemplate and write down what you really, really want your life to be like. And then go to the Bible and find the promises that God has given you that back up what you really, really want. And write it down. Write it down. I've been doing that for years. I keep a prayer journal, and I've broken up into different areas of my life, and I write it down. I write prayers down. I write scriptures down. I find pictures in magazines and cut them out and stick them into my prayer book so that not only am I reading the words, but I'm seeing the vision. This is the car that is coming into my life in the name of Jesus. And I begin to, and listen, I've shared that over the years, and people come and say, can I see your prayer book? Can I? No, you can't. But I made you one. You can buy it at the hub after the service. I turned it in. That is my prayer book with my prayers in it, but with spaces for your goals and your pictures and your promises. And every day you're beginning, you're praying, you're confessing, you're believing it, you're seeing it, you're calling it to you. Look, next slide, please. talk to God about it a lot and talk to others very little. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance as he approached, and they made plans to kill him. Not everybody wants to see you successful. And they said, "Here comes the dreamer." Folk, don't tell people your dreams. They'll talk you out of them. Because it's not their dream. Because they're not you. They don't have your history of your walk with God. They don't have the promises that God has given you over the years. They haven't been through the circumstances that you've been through. They've not had God move upon their heart and put a desire into their heart. It's a different one that they've got. So no people are going to try. Here comes that dreamer. Look, here comes that dreamer. They said, "Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of all of his dreams." Your dreams are between you and God. Talk to God a lot about them and keep it zipped when there's other people about. Look, let's read on. Next slide. Proverbs says this: "Have two goals, wisdom, that is knowing and doing right, and common sense. Don't let them slip away from you." Look at this. "For they fill you with living energy." You know, Red Bull might give you wings, but wisdom and common sense give you living energy. Listen, are there some things that you do and they make you come alive? Are there some things you do and they make you die? Just put me under the duvet right now with a sleeping pill. I've had enough. Some things drain the... Are there some people that drain the energy out of you? Are there some people that fill your tank? Look, they fill you with living energy and bring you honor and respect. They keep you safe from defeat and disaster and from stumbling off the trail. With them on guard, you can sleep without fear. Isn't it good to go to bed at night and put your head in the pillow and say, "Listen, all my ducks are in a row. I got everything organized. No debt collectors are about to break my door down. The drug dealer's been paid, so he's not going to be after me. Everything out there in the world is peaceful. I can go to sleep." Isn't it good to know that you can sleep without fear? You do not need to be afraid of disaster or even the plots of wicked men. For the Lord is with you and the Lord protects you. You do everything you can do, and then you trust God to do everything you can't do. You can't change other people. There might be other people who are out to get you. There might be other people who want to kill your dream. You can only change yourself. But if you keep yourself with a vision, with hope, with faith, with belief, with prayer, and if you keep going in the right direction and you trust the rest to God, God will deal with the rest of the people. You can sleep without any fear at night because you know that you've done everything that can be done and you're trusting the Lord with everything that can't be done. And God works all things together for the good of those who love him. Can you say amen? Amen. Next one. Next, Proverbs. Oh, I love this one. Proverbs 21:5 and 24:3-4. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Do you know it does not say hard work leads to prosperity? Do you know that some of the hardest workers in the world are some of the poorest people? It doesn't say hard work. It says good planning and hard work. Listen, you can work hard or you can work smart. And working smart involves planning. I heard a missionary tell a story about they were in this third world country and they were in this jungle area. and there was the village had no well, and the river was like a half an hour walk away. And that every day the people would take buckets and they would walk half an hour to the river and they would collect water and they would walk half an hour back again. There was a whole hour taken up just carrying water. And the missionary said, look, I can get some funds and we could build a well here and then you wouldn't have to walk to the river. And they said, well, how long will it take to build the well? And he said, 2 or 3 weeks. And they all laughed at him. Dude, it's only half an hour to the river. Yeah, but two or three weeks and then you will never walk to the river again in your life. Planning was something they had never thought about. Hard work was something they thought about, right? But planning... And then 3 weeks of hard work, and then no hard work. Right? Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but shortcuts lead to poverty. Any enterprise, is starting a business an enterprise? Is doing a university degree an enterprise? Is raising children an enterprise? Is building an IKEA cabinet an enterprise? Any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. You see, a vision is so important. If there's any enterprise you're engaged on, you need to have an ultimate goal, and then you need to have a plan that step by step will take you from where you are to where you want to be. Next slide, please. We're bringing this to a conclusion. What is your dream for your life? What is your dream for your life? We've got one more verse we're going to look at. It's a prayer. We're going to pray about it. But before we do, just look at these points. What is your dream for your life? Here's what we've been saying today. Number one, pray for wisdom. If you don't have a dream for your life, you get before God. You say, well, is God really interested in... Okay, are you interested in your children doing well? Or do you not care about them? You just open the door and kick them out? Are you interested in your children doing well? Do you think God's interested in his children doing well? Pray for wisdom. Number two, discover what is right for you, uniquely right for you. It might be different from somebody else. Some person, it would be right for them to live in the city center, in the heart of the big city. For some people, it'd be right for them to live in an acreage. Do you know? Find out what's right for you. Number three, write it down. And if you don't have any paper, buy the book. Number four, keep it private. Put a big padlock on that book. Next, set goals. By such and such a time, I will be here. By such and such a time, I'll be here. Create a plan and partner with God. Basically, people, what I'm saying is take some time over the next month, sit down and design your life. Spend some time in prayerful daydreaming with God and design your life. And here's what it says in the book of Psalms. Next one. It says this. Next slide. That was a slow one, wasn't it? It says, may God smack you upside the head for being so selfish and thinking about it. Is that what it says? What does it say? May God grant you what? Your heart's desires. And may all your plans fail because it was human pride making. Is that what it says? Where do we get all these super spiritual ideas? And may all, make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy when we hear of your victory and raise a banner in the name of our God. May the Lord answer not one or two or three or four, but how many? All of your prayers. Come on, church, stand. We're going to pray it. Put up the last slide, this verse in the form of a prayer. We're going to pray this together. And listen, God hears what you think in your mind, but there is something about boldness when you pray. Don't mumble your prayer. Speak out loud enough for you to hear. You might actually scare yourself because you believe for something you've never believed for before. Are you ready, church? On the count of three, one, two, three. Dear God, today I ask that you would grant my heart's desires and make all my plans succeed. May I shout for joy at the victory you will give me, and may you answer all my prayers in Jesus' name. Come on, church.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this week's message, click subscribe. And if you'd like to check us out in person, check our website for times and location at thechurchse.com. Have a great week.